John chapter 17, verses 20 and 21. I pray not only for these, but also for those who believe in me through their word. May they all be one as you, Father, are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us so that the world may believe you sent me. Why does Jesus pray about them, those guys, those 11 that are in front of him, to be one? Because to me, it's the same thing. Are they alike? Are they having something in common? Do they like the same things? I just want to bring examples of two of Jesus' disciples. Matthew, the tax collector. For me, it's kind of interesting because right now in Ukraine, with being occupied by Russia, Matthew serves that occupying side, being tax collector. And at the same time, we have Simon the Zealot, who is nationalist, extreme nationalist. And they are together. They're following Christ. The reason why they're together is because one day Jesus came up to them and he said, follow me. And what they did, they stood and they started following him. So when Jesus is praying for his disciples, when he's praying for them to be one, for them to be united, he points out something very critical. Why do we unite? What is the reason for us to be united? Especially for those that heard the voice of God one day and decided to follow him for the rest of their lives. He brings an example and he points out the example of what unity should look like. He says about the relationship that he has with the Father, that they are in one another. They are united in very unique relationships. They're together. They're doing one thing. And he prays that for his disciples, but not only for his disciples. He prays this for us. After 2,000 years later, that prayer is still relevant to us because we are different. There's so many ways how it's becoming harder and harder. And when I ask the question, is it easy to love people? Most of you shook their heads, saying no. I can relate to that because it's not easy to love people. It's not easy to love my kids. I have two. And Irina is 11 and Mark is 15. So Irina is entering the teenage and Mark is already there. So I'm pretty sure that you're familiar that that age is like obedience. What is that? Like, my wife is texting me almost every day saying, please talk to your son. I'm like, it's your son too. Talk to him. But he listens. For some reason, he's like, okay, if it's dad, that means I'm in trouble. He's a great kid and I love him so much and I miss him. And he's my helper number one since the beginning of war. He's been by my side and he's been doing whatever I was doing. If it's unloading truck with humanitarian aid, then he's with me, he's doing that. If it's me going to a church, visiting one of our Calvary chapels in Ukraine, he would be by my side and he would be with me, praying for me, just being with me in those trips. But it's not easy because we're different, even though he looks like me. If I would show a picture, you'll probably tell he's your son. It's that he looks like me. Sometimes he behaves like me, but because of that, it makes things even harder. And oftentimes when I ask him to do something, he's on his phone and he's like, yeah, I will. 30 minutes later, Mark, come on, you promised. I'm like, yeah, I promised. So wait. Yeah, so it's hard, but he's my son. And I love him. He's not always that. When he was two or three years old, I asked him a question. I don't know why, like, it's a, when you hear the question, you'll probably think that I'm not thinking straight. Asking a three-year-old, why do you think I love you? Yeah. He answered. And the answer, I still remember that answer. And I even remember the voice he said it with. He was rebuking me, saying, because you're my dad. He didn't say why. He said, the reason for you loving me is because you're my father. That picture for me, that's the exact relationships that God wants for us. He loves us because he is God. Not because what he gives us, not because what he answers our daily prayers. I'm standing here and I thank Levi that he reminded that you guys prayed for me and that I can be here today. That's an answer to a prayer that you guys prayed. And I thank you. But that's great. God is answering those prayers. But much more important, what changes our lives, what changes everything we do and how we approach things, how we love people, no matter the differences, is relationships that we have with him. And relationships is not only give me what I need. Relationships is, I just enjoy spending time with you. I just want to be with you. I just want to hear your voice. That's the most important. And when we look at God and look at Christ and look at everything he did for us, that changes everything. One of my favorite verses in the Bible, it's in Romans, where it says that God proves his love to us. A God of a universe that created everything with his word. He created me, he created you, he created everything, the beauty around us. He can destroy it with one snap. He wants to prove something to his creation. That's amazing. And he proved that in the most beautiful way, if you can look at it, sacrificing himself, giving his son for him to come and die for us, knowing who we are, knowing that we are not worthy. I'm not worthy. He knows my every thought. He knows everything that I am, but he still wants to prove that he loves me, even though I don't deserve it. He loves us so much. When we realize that love, when we accept that love, when we think about it, when we build those relationships with him, that we see him for who he is, how does it affect me? Does it affect me? If it doesn't, then probably something is wrong. And probably I see it in a different light. I don't express his love. But when I see him for who he is, and if it affects me, then the differences that I see in other people, they're secondary. I can love them. I can accept them. I can show the love of Christ to them because I have it. Because I understand that his love is overflowing me. And I want to share that. I don't want to stop. I want to be the light of Christ. Be the light of God. Not only in the walls of the church. Once I heard a saying that oftentimes we're lights in the church. We light so brightly that we start blinding each other. Our goal is to light up the world and show the world the love of Christ and point out to him, but we choose to stay within our boundaries, within our comfort zone. When we see that love of Christ, when we receive it, it changes us. Only that can change us, and those changes will last. That's my encouragement to you today, is to think and meditate and be excited about the love of God once again. Be amazed by who he is. Be amazed by what he done for you and me once again. And allow it to transform us. Allow it to do something amazing. Lord, I thank you for this time that we have together. I thank you for this opportunity to abide in your word. and to allow your word and allow you to transform us. Lord, I pray that you would continue the work that you started in us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for just reminding us how much you love us and that you prove your love to us. Thank you. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.